whatever you want to call it, their excuse, their reasoning was that Slender Man told them to do it.
Yeah. Really?
And the screenwriter of this film used that story as inspiration.
Yeah. Weak.
I love this song too.
Weak. Not.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going straight up skip it on that one. That note.
So skip it across the board for Slender Man. Number three coming in a Disney movie in its second week. Christopher Robin. I saw the trailer. I thought this looks pretty fun. I don't know if I'm going to see it, but I'm in between see it and rent it for Christopher Robin. It's got a good rating. If anybody wants to see Christopher Robin with me, I will casually go see it.
I read a review of that movie that said it desperately wanted to be Paddington, but was so depressing and dour that it never got anywhere near that. And that was enough to make me say my time is too valuable to waste on this Christopher Robin movie. I'd like to see it because the original voice of Pooh is still there.
Yes.
But I don't want to be bummed out by Winnie the Pooh. Anything to do with my time.
I was going to say that's...
Donald Trump's still in the White House. Don't have Pooh bumming me out.
I mean, it works for some franchises like Batman... The whole Dark Knight, all of that, made Batman. When it used to be, I mean, you think about like Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Don't get me wrong, those movies were fun. But like that is a good twist to darkness on a classic character. I want Winnie the Pooh giggling and needing honey. So I'm going skip it on this.
You're going to skip it on it, huh? Full on murder spree. If Pooh's like in London, like taking people out. I'm in. I'm down.
I was going to say, go if you're going to go towards the evil or like sad end of the spectrum, like take it all the way. Yeah. Don't dip your toe in it.
No half measures.
I have to say one more thing about Christopher Robin. One reviewer said, if you love Hook, you have to see Christopher Robin. And I hated Hook.
That's an audience of five. That's an audience of five.
Yeah. Mission Impossible came in at number two. I was a big proponent of this last week. I thought it was great. I'm going to see it on Mission Impossible.
I want to see it. I just can't find the time to go see it. I desperately want to see that movie.
And Shay? Mission Impossible? No? Just because of Tom Cruise?
No.
Just because
of Mission Impossible franchise? Like I said, I'm not an action movie girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, look, another thing exploded. Oh, look, another car's driving really fast.
Oh, there's more
fast.
To that.
Me.
Yeah, this one's got James Cavill in it with a mustache.
I like playing the video game Mission Impossible, but in terms of actually like sitting through, I know that I would just, I know it sounds ironic, but I would fall asleep during that movie.
Finally, coming in at number one at $45.4 million, it is The Meg. And, of course, that's Beyond the Sea by Bobby Darin in the background.
I love that song.
From the trailer of The Meg. I have not seen this. I was see it, but I've read some reviews that might move me to rent it on this.
I totally want it. You have to see this on the big screen.
Especially if it's summertime.
I read one review of this that said to me, Chris Earle is going to be beating a path to the theater to see this.
Because, you know, I love a good shark attack movie. I love shark movies.
And the reviewer basically said, if Steven Spielberg had had the technology and the budget, this is what Jaws would have been.
That's precisely what I was about to say.
And there are apparently a lot of overt nods to Jaws in the movie.
They know what they're doing here.
It's like, this is Jaws with an even bigger shark.
I'm switching to see it. I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it. Again, no time, you know?
I'm going rented on this one only because, like, I tried to watch, I've seen Jaws and all the Jaws's, obviously. I tried to watch Sharknado once, and I had to turn it off. For those of our listeners who also listen to our show, you know I love the ocean. I'm an avid swimmer and boogie boarder because surfing's too hard. Even looking at, they have this great aerial photo to start off the trailer with the shark underneath.
Yeah.
It is terrifying.
Stay out of Truro.
Like, I'll rent it, but only with pausing it a lot. I'm surprised, though. The movie I saw over the weekend was Eighth Grade. I'm surprised that wasn't on your list.
Oh, that looks pretty good, actually.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Especially. And, like, that's as I saw it with my mother, and I was saying, like, I'm surprised her arm isn't bruised by how many times I poked her, being like, that totally happened to me.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
Well, it was cool because I would never expect, not saying men can't understand women or teenage girls, but I would never expect a man to write something like that.
I think men and women will never understand one another. It's a constant battle.
Yeah.
But that's
Venus and Mars,
that's
man.
That's food for thought for another time. Coming up next is The Big Picture with Shay and Derek. Stick around. My name is Chris Earle. The show has been Watch This. Thank you for listening to your freeform station, WMFO, in Medford.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. That's another way of punching it into your phone.
Tis indeed.
But if you like the numbers, it's 855-915-9636. Coming up later tonight, we're talking about stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about lots of stuff.
Stuff. What stuff are we talking about later on tonight?
Stuff's been happening.
Oh, James Gunn. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that wasn't exciting enough last week. We got to bring up James Gunn again.
Oh, yeah. And we have to talk about all those geniuses that organized the Unite the Right 2 rally on Sunday.
Big rally in Washington over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Boy, white supremacy is just on the march in America.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. And then
it's amazing.
And then the other thing we're discussing is the coolest 11-year-old in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, lots of stuff to, lots of reasons to stick around tonight. You know, I'm looking outside and I'm seeing that it's a little bit darker than it has been in recent weeks.
Yeah, we are.
When we'd come in here.
We are edging into fall like ever so slowly. But Mother Nature's trying to throw us off by making it incredibly, ridiculously, unbearably hot.
It is the Ides. Okay, it's the Ides of August.
Ides of August.
Any month with 31 days has Ides. That's not just March. It's the Ides of August.
Is that true? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
The Ides of August.
It's the Ides of August. The 15th day of the month is the Ides because it doesn't fit.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't fit on... Oh.
Yeah, the Romans were like...
Learn something new every day, kids.
We like our months to have 30 days.
That's when Caesar died, right? Was the Ides of March.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It used to be a joke in my Latin class, you know. Someone would walk in and be like, hey, it's the 15th of November, or it's the 15th of March. I hear there's a plot to kill Caesar. Everyone would laugh.
I was going
to
say, take that, Mr. Svensson, that I took 7th grade history with. He thought I learned nothing from his class. I learned one thing.
So, those of you who live around here, and have lived around here for a long time, know that this, beyond just being the Ides of August, is kind of a significant date in the summertime because this is really when the dog days are supposed to break.
Yeah.
And it's like the next 2 weeks, anything can happen, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It stays warm here, you know, into November sometimes, but theoretically, the worst of the summer heat and humidity is behind us.
Yeah, we're supposed to start seeing some sevens at the beginning of the temperature.
Yeah, it's supposed to get seasonal, and we'll talk about the weather in a little bit.
I would say, though, I mean, you never know because, honestly, I actually was just, like, out of curiosity because I'm vain looking through old Facebook posts that I got. Like, you know, they give you the highlights of your past several months. And I had totally forgotten that one day in February, it was 72 degrees.
Yeah.
So, don't unpack those parkas just quite yet, is what I would say.
Yeah, this Bermuda high is really worn out its welcome, I think. That's what's been sitting over us. I mean, we get one every summer, but this one's been really, really bad.
Well, and I was trying so hard for those of you who listen to us regularly. You know, at the end of the show, we say the weirdest story we heard from last week, and 9 times out of 10, they're from Florida. But I was trying my darndest to find a story about Florida, and all of it is like hurricane. Every story about Florida was like hurricane season is going to be terrible this year.
Except there's no hurricanes right now, are there?
Not right now, but they're anticipating weather patterns.
This is usually the time of year when the bad ones are spinning. Like if we don't see stuff in the next week or so.
No, if you recall, Hurricane Katrina happened a week into September.
Yeah, it happened around Labor Day weekend. I remember it was one of my very first shows.
I remember because my brother drove through the night to New York City from Tulane.
but it's like this is sort of like, you know, the window for the really, really bad hurricanes.
Yeah, for when it's going to kind of lay the groundwork for how the next month is going to go.
But I'm not even hearing anything about named storms in the Caribbean right now or off the coast of Africa. So, you know, maybe we...
So, let's all knock on wood.
And, yeah, maybe we dodge a bullet on that one. We'll see. Hey, kids, it's format tweaking season.
Tis indeed.
You know, as we prepare for the kids to come back and to get into the fall swing of things, it's a good time to retool the show, as mm-hmm. it were. And in an attempt to... I always try, whoever is sitting across from me mm-hmm. at this desk, knowing that I am good at nothing... I always try and give my...
You're good at some things. I'm just better than you at a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I'm really not. How many years have I been doing this? I press the wrong buttons every week. The music doesn't queue up properly. Like, everything's a mess.
Yeah,
always.
Do you know how many times I've mauled Derek? Why isn't my mic on?
Always. Your microphone isn't on. Like, the CD player isn't on at the end of the show. I haven't loaded on the Telemikey CD. Things that should be automatic for me by now.
But you make up for it with charm and baldness.
Baldness, at least. So I always try and find a way to make my co-host shine so that at least someone on this program is worth tuning into. You know, it's not me. It's never going to be me. I get that.
Oh, but shut up.
At least make someone on this program worth tuning into. So Shay and I have been talking back and forth mm-hmm. and trying to come up with ways of improving the flow of the show mm-hmm. and getting more in-depth on topics that we want to get into.
Yes.
So we chucked the news.
Yes, we did.
And Shay was celebrating. She was like, yay, I don't have to do the news anymore.
He thinks I'm terrible at reading the news. Calling and telling me he's wrong. Well, no, we didn't even chuck the news. We more combined two segments to have the two kind of complement each other.
Well, I gave Shay the old death or bunga bunga choice. And when she...
I had no idea what you meant by that, by the way. What is bunga bunga?
You don't know that joke?
No,
You don't know that. This is one of the oldest jokes.
I'm 15 years younger than you. No, I don't know.
This is one of the oldest jokes in the world.
Bunga bunga.
There are a lot of variations of it.
Now you're making me want to look it up before you even explain it.
It's a little bit like the aristocrats in that it's one of those jokes that is embellished.
What do you call your acts?
The joke teller.
The aristocrats.
But the basic...
Oh, God, the first thing that you see is Urban Dictionary, death by bunga.
Yeah, the basic premise of it is three explorers get captured by a tribe in the middle of the jungle somewhere. And the chief goes to the first one and says, do you want death or bunga bunga? And the guy says, I don't want to die, I'll take bunga bunga. And so all of the men run out and horribly violate this man and leave him broken.
I'm sorry, it's a terrible thing to laugh at.
Broken and bleeding and dying, and then throw him in the river. The chief goes to the second man. He says, you want death or bunga bunga? And the guy says, well, I really don't want death, so give me bunga bunga, thinking maybe he'll survive. Same thing happens. He winds up floating dead in the river. Third guy, seeing this, is like, forget it. I'll take death. To which the chief replies, death by bunga bunga.
I do know that joke.
And that's the joke.
Okay, now that you're refreshing my memory, I do remember.
So
that.
I gave you the choice. Mm-hmm. You know, you get rid of the news, or we could get rid of Did You Hear? And you said, let's get rid of the news. And then I said, death by bunga bunga. And so we're now going to do the news as Did You Hear?
Exactly, which I think makes perfect sense.
In a more informal way. And,
yes.
And we've set it up the same way. We've got all the stories covered except tech. We're throwing that. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. But we're setting it up the same way. We've each got two stories so that we won't overlap each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we're going to do news.
Did you hear the news?
Did you hear all at once?
I was saying, did you hear the news?
Death by bunga bunga.
Death by bunga bunga. So do you want to start? You want me to?
You go first.
Okay, so for our local news, I'm going to say storage facility.
This would be, what's the name of the place? Hang on a second. I'm logging things and looking at things. This would be CubeSmart self-storage.
Yes, on Mass Ave.
On Mass Ave. It had a bunch of people living in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the city inspectors came down and said, you can't live in a storage facility.
Yeah. Yeah, they came just before 2 p.m. yesterday. It was the Boston Health Commission. Because it is, for those of you who don't know, if it's not zoned for residential living, you can't live there. Especially one of the, I was looking into this, one of the conditions for something to be deemed suitable for residential living is it has to have a window somewhere in the structure.
You know what else it has to have? Bathroom.
Yes, that toilet. Too. But yeah, when they when the Boston Health Commission invaded yesterday, they found multiple storage units that had coolers, beds, food, curtains, and electric cords. And when they asked for explanations, one woman, which honestly, I wouldn't live in a storage unit. The thought has crossed my mind. I have comedian friends that live in vans. But one woman said that the reason she was there is that she paid $230 a month to rent one of the units as opposed to the average $2,000 that most Bostonians spend, or that the average Bostonian spends on month on rent monthly.
You're not beating that rent anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought about that before. I was like, even my own storage unit, which is like a 10 by 10, I was like, if I could have a bathroom sneaking off of this, like, I can make this work. But, yeah, the officers said that everything was unsafe. They shut down the entire facility, which makes me curious about the people who just have straight-up regular storage units there. Like, what is happening with them? But, yeah, they said it's going to remain closed until further notice. So
this is one of those...
If you wanted to find your photo albums from when you were a kid later, sorry, you can't.
This is one of those things that happens all the time in places like Birmingham, Alabama, and Mississippi and other places that don't have weather. The way that we have weather where you wind up with people living in storage units. Mm. It is not something that we've seen much of in Boston. And it's not something that we want to see more of.
No.
In Boston. Really, really should not be going on. And the city needs to crack down on this and get ahead of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, trust me, I live in a bedroom probably the size of a storage unit, except it's in an attic, so it has slanted ceilings and a three-story walk-up. But I've definitely, like I said, I've entertained the idea of living in a storage unit and sometimes feel like I do, but it's, don't poop in a bucket, guys.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear someone about someone living in a storage unit, all I can think is poop in a bucket.
You should see the videos that are coming out of California of like sidewalks lined with tents in Los Angeles.
Oh, I lived a block from there.
And human waste and needles all over the place in San Francisco. And it's like, if you don't think that can happen here, you're mistaken.
Yeah, you are sorely mistaken. It
can very easily happen here because we have the same kind of wacko progressives floating around in our government that they do out in California. The big difference that we have is it gets cold here.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be homeless, or you're going to be a drug addict here, you're probably going to go to some place like Burlington, Vermont, where they're welcoming because they're even wackier progressive up there.
Well, it's just like that episode of South Park. I don't know if you've ever seen the homeless people episode of South Park.
Yeah.
Where like they lead them all up out of Colorado saying, California, it's always sunny there.
Yeah.
Like it's a, yeah, I wouldn't want to be homeless. I wouldn't want to live in a storage unit, let alone be homeless in this city.
Yeah, no, it's
not. I would just keep walking until I hit at least Virginia.
And, you know, vigilance on the part of our health inspectors and our police and everybody else is the only thing that stops that from happening here.
Yeah.
And you do not want that kind of thing getting a foothold in a state like this, because soon as somebody sets up a tent city, you're going to have a bunch of Cambridge progressives come running out and being like, these people have rights. We can't move them. And now you got a real problem on your hands.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's one of those things that unless you nip it in the bud, it's going to spiral out of control.
People are fleeing California is what I'm saying. Fleeing, fleeing the state of California. Record numbers. Net out migration in California. West Nile virus. Shay Spillane.
West Nile virus. Nothing. I don't know.
You might want to cancel.
I'm guessing people have it.
You might want to cancel that vacation in New Bedford.
Why would anyone take a vacation to New Bedford?
I'm just saying, if you were thinking of hitting up the South Coast.
Unless they really needed some heroin. That is a situation.
No, that's unfair to New Bedford.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Fall River. You're right.
That's unfair to Fall River.
It's not unfair.
Not inaccurate in either case, but unfair. mosquitoes tested positive for West Nile virus in New Bedford.
Yes.
And also in Seekonk. And this follows...
Which is the funnest...
And this follows positive tests earlier this summer in Falmouth, Barnstable, Dennis, Bourne, and Yarmouth.
Snap.
So basically, Northern Cape up into the South Coast, you got the West Nile floating around.
Shoot,
I am
covered in bug bites partially from Falmouth. Maybe I should look into that.
Fever, headache, body aches, and rash are the symptoms of the West Nile virus. You want to be careful with this because in some cases, it's rare. But in some cases, you can be paralyzed, you can wind up in a coma, you can wind up dead.
Well, that sounds fun.
If you didn't need another reason to stay out of there, somebody got bit by a shark in Truro today.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I thought you were going to go with.
Yeah, no, I didn't. the shark thing broke
too
very...
Too many crazy things happening down the Cape.
The shark thing broke very late in the day, so I didn't get a chance
to... Yeah, I was going to say, I saw it like right before I closed my laptop to come here.
Yeah. A 61-year-old surfer was bitten by a shark while surfing. And was airlifted to Tufts Medical Center here in Boston, or nearby in Boston. So, bad shark bite. Bad shark. They have closed the beach in Truro, where it happened.
I would say what's crazy is this is actually one of my favorite beaches in Cape Cod.
Really? You can't just close that beach. You need to close the beaches to the north and south of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like the shark's hanging around the one beach.
I was going to say, you know they can swim, right?
The shark's not hanging around the one beach, being like, yeah, I'll hang out here and see if something... No, he's going up and down, and he's like, where else is food? They travel miles.
They're like, I got one. There must be others around here. I mean, it's the same principle behind them looking for fish.
Yeah.
They find one fish, they're like, there must be more fish around here. Okay, so national news. I'm going to go with Masterpiece Cake Shop.
He is suing the state of Colorado again. Claiming that they are trying to harass him out of business for his religious views. This time it is not a gay couple that has asked him to make a cake. It is someone celebrating their transgender...
transition.
Transition.
Yeah.
Who asked him to make a cake, to which he said, no, I am not making a custom cake for that.
Yeah, and in this case, so...
why do people keep going to this guy?
Exactly. Well, I think that at this point it's
become... Is he the only cake shop in Colorado?
Well, it's the irony is that it's... Masterpiece Cake Shop is like a... It's a Colorado institution, which is actually how... So the transgender woman, her name was Autumn Scardina. It was her seven-year anniversary of transitioning. And... The state of Colorado, even though they found in favor of Jack Phillips, who's the Christian baker behind this, with the same-sex couple, they found against him with this. And it was largely because it's such a popular, famous bakery in Colorado, even before he decided to be a complete buttface. But it's at this, like, I can actually understand. It's like when... It's Rosa Parksy. Let's put it that way. Like, now that it's been declared that this guy is not going to serve people that go against his religion, now it's one of those things where everyone wants to come challenge it until something's done about it. Because he did, so Colorado basically said that because, like, it's a public space and you can't use discriminatory. You can refuse the right to, you can reserve the right to refuse service to people on certain grounds, but you can't discriminate against someone. It's the same as if he wouldn't serve black people or he wouldn't serve short people.
But I guarantee you, the same thing happened in this. I haven't read into the details on this one yet. I guarantee you the same thing happened in this case that happened in the last one. He did not refuse service. He said, I will sell you a cake. He said, I will not create a custom cake for you. I will not write on a cake for you. I will not do anything more than sell you an existing cake. And as the Supreme Court said, he is well within his rights. Now, granted, when we talked about that decision, it was very narrow.
Yes. And I was going to say, they make a point to say that this is directly specific to this case. This isn't a blanket ruling.
Well, it wasn't quite specific to the case, but it hinged on the fact that gay marriage had not yet been recognized in the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. The broader question here And the Constitution is very, very clear on this. The answer is very clear on this. The government cannot compel you. No private individual can compel you to create a work of art for them. You cannot compel someone to do that. You can hire somebody and give them money and say, I am paying you. You are going to make this. And then that individual has the right to either do their job or walk away. But you cannot walk into a bakery or a portrait studio or a confectioner's shop or anybody who does custom work as an aspect of their business and compel them to do anything. You can't walk in and say, you have to do this because I'm an American. That's not how it works, kids.
Well, it's a matter of, I agree. And I think that what's tricky here is that theoretically, the entire point of owning a business is to make money.
Yeah.
Thus, unless a customer has done something, like, for example, at the restaurant that I used to work at, there was a guy who used to come in all the time, drink way too much, and then harass other customers. Totally reasonable reason to refuse service to
him. Thank you for not mentioning me by name.
And it gets to the point where, like, he would come in, and just the moment he would come in, we'd say, I'm sorry, we're not serving you. It wasn't even a matter of politeness anymore. But in this case, I wasn't there, but I imagine that this woman, now I'm forgetting her name, of course, Autumn Scardina, I don't imagine she came in and acted threatening. I imagine that it was a simple request, much like any other cake request. It would be the same as coming in and saying, my daughter's turning 6 tomorrow, I want a Little Mermaid cake. Like,
yeah.
And, well, so anyways, even though the Supreme Court did side with him on this, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission has found, how did they declare it? They said that the refusal was based on Scardina's transgender status, adding a claim of discriminatory denial of full and equal enjoyment of a place of public accommodation has been established.
No, it is not. And they were wrong the last time, and they're going to be wrong again this time.
Well, and it's a matter of... And I agree with you. That's the thing, is that, I mean, it's, this guy's a jerk, and it stinks that he is doing this.
I don't think the guy's a jerk. By the way, I agree with you that this is a bad business decision, okay? Yeah. Clearly the guy's making enough money otherwise that he doesn't have to take this business.
That he can afford to do this.
And you know what? It's Colorado. I guarantee you his business has doubled since the gay marriage case.
Especially amongst Christians.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Plenty of folks still left in Colorado who are like, well, yeah, I got in country. Yeehaw.
It's just too bad for him that this happened after May, when everyone's getting confirmed and getting their first communion, because he would have cleaned up.
He'll be fine. You know, I think it's a bad business decision, but as somebody who respects the Constitution and respects people's rights, I have to respect his right. Listen, do I think he is reading his religion entirely wrong? Yes. Do I think God's going to punish you because you make a cake for somebody who's transgender? No. It would be nice if some, you know, Christian clergy would go out there and sit down with this guy and be like, look
dude,
I don't know what somebody told you. I don't know what you think you read in the Bible, but you can make that cake. It's all right.
Well, I've been likening it to... say someone's being tried for murder, and everyone knows, O.J. Simpson, perfect example. Everyone knows they did it. It's like, you totally did this. But because of the laws that we have in place in our country to protect our freedoms, you cannot prosecute someone for something unless the evidence compels you beyond a reasonable doubt. And this is a situation like that, where legally, he's not doing anything wrong. Legally, he has the right to refuse service to somebody. He has the right to his freedom of religion.
We cannot compel... taking freedom of religion out of this, no one can compel you to create a work of art.
Yeah, he has the right as an artist, because making cakes, I mean, they're all those stupid reality shows. Making cakes is an art.
Yeah.
He has the right to all of that, but it's, like I said, like the O.J. trial is a very good parallel to this, because it's, even though... you know what he did was wrong, he can legally get away with it. But that doesn't make people not angry about it because it's...
He's not even legally getting away with it. No one can compel you to make a work of art, period.
Oh, no, and I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying that, like, legally he was in the right, is what I'm saying.
He hasn't done anything wrong here. He is exercising his rights as an American citizen. We may disagree with the reasoning behind it,
just like
but
when,
he still has those rights.
Just like when white nationalists... what's the word that I'm looking for? When white nationalists come together to protest.
Exercising their
we
rights.
All
we may not
it,
like it.
But that is a right.
And it's like, he may be, you know... I disagree with the business decision. He's not a bad guy. He's not a Nazi. He's not an evil. He's not a jerk. He's not any of these things. He is a religious man who is saying, look, my God isn't cool with this. And this is where I say, I would like to see some clergy get out there and be like, sit him down and be like, look, guy, God's fine with this. All right? Make the stupid cake.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand what he's not doing here. He's not making a cake for the general public and then saying you can't have it to this individual. This individual is walking in and saying, I want you to make a cake specifically for me. This individual is compelling him to create a work of art. Can't do that. Nobody can do that. No one has any right in this country to compel someone else to create a work of art.
I was like, do you know what just popped in? I can't believe I never made this analogy before. But it would be like if I was performing on a show and someone came up to me beforehand and said, you have to do a joke about blank.
Yeah.
I'd say, no, I don't. I have to do a joke about whatever I want to do a joke about.
Yeah.
It still makes me angry, though. And like I said, my conclusion to that is I think that you said, why do people who he will obviously be against keep going? And it's for this reason.
Oh, yeah. It's harassment. It
and
is.
It's, and it's... And the irony being that that transgenders and homosexuals and all of the people who are routinely persecuted by men like this, or not even persecuted, but just treated not the same as those who are straight or have the sex organs they were born with or what have you. They want to do is fight for the rights that everyone else has. But ironically, the only thing that will make it illegal for this man to do what he's doing is to change the very foundation under which our country was founded.
And I am never going to support that.
What?
You will never get me to support special rights for anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Is that asking for any sort of special rights or asking even not even special rights, but asking for a law that says like you can't refuse to serve someone because it goes against your religious beliefs would discount the First Amendment.
Yeah. Yep.
Like it, and I'm not saying that I don't think it stinks, but at the same time, it's on the flip side, when you need the First Amendment, it's there.
That is a slippery slope we do not want to
go
down.
Exactly. We can't go down that
slope. A host of adequately explored reasons. Monsanto.
Monsanto. Ooh, I like the way that sounds. Monsanto. I know it's like ringing in my head. It's a person, right?
No, the company.
Oh, the company? No, I don't know then.
This one stunned me.
You're killing me today.
This one stunned me. Monsanto. This broke late last week, which may be why. Monsanto, we talked about this a few weeks ago, lost the lawsuit brought by a California groundskeeper who blamed the company's Roundup weed killer.
I did know that.
For giving him non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I was going to say, because that's, it's, but what's the name of the weed killer, though? It's
Roundup.
Roundup, yes. I was going to say, if you said Roundup, I would have gotten that.
A California jury awarded Dwayne Johnson $289 million, including $250 million in punitive damages. Bayer stock is down. They recently bought Monsanto. And the floodgates are open for additional legal challenges now. There are hundreds of people around the country waiting to sue. And all those cases are going to move forward right now.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this is precedent if I've ever seen it.
I didn't think he stood a chance in hell of winning this case. And I said as much on the air a few weeks ago because the timeline between when he started using Roundup and when he got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was about 2 years. And it seemed way too short to me. For any medical expert, because you don't know what causes cancer.
I was going to say, well, I agree with you on that, definitely.
And no medical expert is going to come in and be like, oh, yeah, that caused that. I would think a reasonable medical expert would come in and be like, we don't think exposure, even excessive exposure over that period of time, is going to do this.
I would say, well, it's just like, I have a friend who has mesothelioma as a result of...
asbestos.
Asbestos,
and that's a different situation. But, like, we know, all you have to do is breathe one asbestos particle and you're done.
But even thus so, it was asbestos from a house that he'd lived in up to the time he was 12.
Yeah.
He got diagnosed with mesothelioma when he was 23. So I, even, and like you said, like asbestos, it's like, boom, you've got it. Like, it's going to mess with you. But even that took, for him to show symptoms, it took over a decade.
Yeah.
And that's, but I mean, there's so little we know about, that's why this is a tricky subject, because there's so little we know about, first of all, what actually causes cancer. Obviously, we know some things, but in terms of the gestation period, if you will, there's so little we know. I mean, there are people that walk around with cancer in their bodies for 20 years before they realize it. And then there are people that is, I mean, I got cancer when I was 3. Like,
given how ubiquitous this chemical is, given how ubiquitous Roundup is, I would expect a very, very large number of people to be coming down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I was going to say, like, we used Roundup in my house when we were growing up.
This guy's dealing with, like, the industrial strength, you know,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like, professionally.
Yeah, and he said he got doused in it twice, and that contributed to it. I don't know if this is...
How? How do you get doused in Roundup?
You spill it, or it's, you know, what, out of it's liquid, or it's powder, or whatever it is. You've never done yard work, is all I'm going to say to you.
I beg your pardon.
Because...
I did do yard work growing up.
Yeah.
Only because my mom had a Snickers ice cream bar waiting for me if I finished. But still, yeah. I did do yard work.
I got fertilizer all over everything in my yard and in my carriage house and on my driveway. And it's,
ew,
it's
I'm Derek.
Just gets
I have
everywhere.
A carriage house.
But to get back to the point.
Yes.
I don't know if this is California jury, because California jury, not one of your better juries in the United States of America. I'll put them just...
Or a group of people
I'll
in
put
general.
Them just above Florida. At the bottom of the list.
Fair point.
So I don't know if this is California jury or if Monsanto has a real problem here. Obviously, they're going to appeal this and they're going to try and get this reduced. But this is a very, very bad situation that they're in right now.
Well, and
if more of these cases come up and more of these convictions, more juries find in favor of these plaintiffs, you may see Roundup disappear from the market pretty damn quick.
Well, and especially the thing about a California jury, beyond that they're probably airhead dummies, is that from living in California, two most important things to those people, health and environment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I say California jury.
I would say those are the two things that if you are doing something that is harmful to the environment as well as harmful to someone's health, you are going down.
This is why the lawyers decided to bring a case in California, is because they know that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to throw this one in just very quickly to see if you heard about it. Supermarket Pillar is also out of California.
Supermarket Pillar, no.
Did you ever go to a Winco when you were out in California, a supermarket chain?
No, I was more of a Vons gal.
All right, so the
or
manager...
Ralph's. I liked Ralph's.
The manager at a Winco in Lancaster... notices this weird smell coming from one of the pillars out in front of the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
She calls a technician and is like, I think there's sewage backing up or something in there. They start taking the pillar apart and they find a dead guy inside.
Oh my goodness, what?
This guy had been running away from the cops, had crashed a car in the parking lot, ran up onto the roof, at which point they lost him.
And he fell into a column.
He somehow gained access to the pillar. And they found him standing with one arm pinned behind his head. I've got to imagine that he fell into the pillar and died.
I was going to say, probably just like impact. Like,
because I'm going to guess.
Because I'm picturing the size of your average supermarket in general.
You think about like Stop and Shop.
Especially in LA. Yeah, I was going to say, especially in LA, the supermarkets are like the highest building in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or in California in general. But oh my goodness. Yeah, I was going to say, it probably just literally, he probably thought there was going to be a ledge jump down to and then drop like 40 feet.
Yeah. So that's my, oh, because my, I got to imagine that if the guy's in there and he's like howling in pain or crying for help, somebody's going to hear him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, depending on what the pillar's made of, though, because if it's made of, like, concrete,
yeah,
it's pretty soundproof.
No, it's even if it's concrete, you're still, somebody's going to hear something, you know, if you're in there screaming. So, dead guy in the pillar.
If you're screaming in the supermarket pillar.
Dead guy
in the
pillar.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at someone that passed away, but that's absurd.
Yeah, that's really not a good way to go.
Okay, so for world news, I have Parliament.
Parliament. There's a bunch of those. I believe you're referring to the gentleman who decided to drive his car into people around Westminster yesterday.
I am indeed. Yes, his silver Ford Fiesta hit cyclists and pedestrians at 7:37 a.m. before crashing into the security barriers surrounding Parliament. And what I found was interesting is the suspect, who's in his 20s, has been identified, and he's from the Midlands of England, and they checked back to where he was from, and the police there said, oh, yeah, we know him.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, yeah, this isn't news to us. We're not shocked.
Do we have a name on this skill?
Not yet, as far as I was able to find.
That means his first name is Mohammed or Ibrahim, one of the two.
But luckily, nobody was killed. Three people were treated at the scene. Two of them were taken to the hospital. The woman that was taken to the hospital, she has serious but non-life-threatening injuries, and the man has already been discharged.
I drive a Ford Fiesta, so, and I'm upset that this guy's using a Ford Fiesta.
He's giving your car a bad name. That's part of why I wanted to include this, because I was like, oh my God, it's Derek's car. Yours blue, though. Yours is prettier.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. There's not much the cops are going to do to stop this. Mm. You know, short of when you're calling West Midland and they're like, oh, yeah, we know him. Well, all right. At what point do you
just lock him up for being a crazy person?
Do you remove this guy from the streets? You know?
Well, I'm in no way, by the way, let me preface this by saying I am in no way condoning any acts of terrorism, but just putting yourself in his shoes. How dissatisfying to try to commit an act of terror.
Stop. We can't. No, we can't go there.
I'm not saying
it's tragic. It's tragic.
I'm not saying it's tragic, but I'm saying on the flip side of, like, from my end, it always makes me really happy when someone tries to accomplish this really devastating, harmful thing, and then it ends up falling what I imagine is far short of their expectations.
Well, I like it when they're trying to kill people and wind up just killing themselves before they get near anybody. Best.
Like you always say, if you want to shoot people, first test the gun on yourself.
Yeah. But when people actually get hurt, it moves into a different, I mean,
oh yeah, no, it moves into a different category. I'm not discounting the fact that these three people got hurt by any means, but I mean, I don't imagine that any terrorist goes into a terrorist act saying, oh, I just want to like hurt a couple people.
Yeah, no, they're not.
And I'm saying like, it's rather satisfying to think like, haha, mission not accomplished.
Mirandy Bridge.
Yes, Mirandy Bridge, firefighters are working around the clock to try to search the rubble of Mirandy Bridge in northern Italy. And at this point, we're up to 39 people that are deceased.
39 killed, 15 injured.
I would say 15 injured. And it's becoming like a really big investigation. The Deputy Prime Minister, Matteo Salvini, warns that whoever was responsible would have to, quote-unquote, pay dearly after an 80-yard section of the bridge fell following a violent storm yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think they're going after engineers. They're going after maybe even construction crews.
And it's not just that it fell. It's where it fell, because this was rush hour when it happened.
I was going to say, which is precisely what a bridge of that sort is supposed to... it was in Genoa, by the way. But it's precisely what a bridge of that sort is supposed to withstand.
And the bridge fell onto another highway, which just ups your... It's a little bit like the 1989 earthquake in California, where the upper level of, you know, multi-level freeway came down on the lower level and killed everybody. This is the same thing. You're sitting in traffic down below the bridge, and the bridge falls on you. Plus, people who are on the bridge fall, and they die.
Yeah.
Apparently...
So it's like multi-leveled casualties.
Yeah. Apparently, Italy outsources all of its... bridge and highway maintenance mm-hmm. to a private company.
Oh, goodness. Wait, to a private company outside of Italy?
Well, the company's in Italy, but they outsourced
but
all
they
of
outsourced
this.
But they outsourced
Yeah, it's not like the government is responsible for this. There is a private company responsible for this.
Which I'm sure the government of Italy is currently going,
yeah,
about that.
Well, actually, the government of Italy is heading over to their corporate headquarters and saying, give us all your documents.
Who screwed up?
Some of you are going to jail.
Well, and I mean, especially, I mean...
They will throw you in jail for this in Italy, by the way.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not like the United States of America where, you know, if you're a white-collar employee, like, they drag you in front of the courts and they make a lot of noise and then they quietly send you home.
Oh, yeah, no.
No. Italy, you're going to jail.
Oh, when I lived in Italy, my dad came to visit me. They tried to extradite him back to Italy for a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Like, that is how hardcore they are there.
Yeah.
And, well, the thing that's crazy about Italy, too, which is why, I mean, don't get me wrong, no bridge anywhere should collapse, especially one made for high-volume traffic. But the thing about Italy, too, is, like, the general just buildup of it. Everything has to be really strong because, you know, you've got the Alps to the north. You're surrounded by water. You've got mountain ranges spreading across the entire, everything has to be really structurally sound.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we were driving to the Alps from Milan, I looked at my host mother. We're driving 4 kilometers. So what is that, like 2-3 miles?
2.5 miles.
Yeah, like
roughly.
2.5 miles through one of the Alps, like through one of the mountains in this tunnel. And I looked at her and was like, what would happen to us if an earthquake occurred right now? And she was like, we might be crushed to death, but you know, they structure this perfectly because I'm really good at doing an Italian accent. But anyway, but like, that's the thing is they have picture the various landscapes of the United States, and we're such a huge country. They have almost all of that tucked into this tiny little boot.
Yeah, it's like 10 miles.
Yeah, like
10
you
miles
have
wide.
To, yeah, yeah, like you have to be ready for anything that nature may throw your way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those poor people, I can't even, I mean, every tragedy is tragic, but imagine just being on your morning commute and having that happen to you.
Yeah.
Or having that happen to someone you love.
It'd be interesting to find out more about this bridge and what went wrong here, because this looks like something that absolutely should not have happened under any circumstances. We've had bridges collapse in this country, and it's usually a case where, you know, we knew the bridge was in danger well before there was a problem.
Someone already said, we have to fix this. And we're like, yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So for entertainment, I have Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing on Brad Pitt.
Or I could say Angelina Jolie. So this is so... I just love picturing Jennifer Aniston giggle through all of this. The long-running divorce case of one-time Hollywood power couple Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt has hit a new level of drama. Yesterday, Jolie alleged in a court filing that her estranged husband hasn't paid any meaningful child support for a year and a half during their ongoing divorce. And she said she's planning to seek a court order to, quote, force his hand, end quote. Pitt then, of course, immediately hit back in his own legal broadside today that detailed how he lent Jolie some $8 million to help her purchase her current home and paid more than $1.3 million in bills for the benefit of her and their children, saying her filing is, quote, unnecessary, omits material information, and is a thinly veiled effort to manipulate media coverage.
Do we really have a couple of multimillionaires suing each other over child support?
I was gonna say, like, yeah, are you kidding me? Like, first of all, I bet Billy Bob Thornton is still paying her alimony. Or no, I guess he wouldn't because she got married, but she still has some of that stored up. Second of all, like, there are literally millions of people fighting for child support so they can buy formula.
Yeah.
Like, one of your kids' outfits would pay my rent for 6 months. Like, it really, Hollywood people are gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
It's part of why I had to leave there. I was like, you all just have the most disgusting priorities and attitudes.
I don't know what any of these people are thinking. I don't know what any of these people are thinking. I mean, you can afford... Child support is for people who have no money.
Yeah, child support is for people who need support.
You were the sole breadwinner in the family. You left. I can't afford these kids.
You're both multimillionaires. All of this, honest to God, I'm waiting for both of them to announce their next movie. Like, I'm waiting because I can't imagine the point of any of this is anything beyond publicity. Their publicist was probably like, I can imagine... It might be far-fetched, but they could even be in cahoots on this. Like, hey, let's blah, 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 back and forth for 2 days so that everyone remembers that we're relevant, so that everyone will have us in their minds when we come out with our next movie.
Brad Pitt's in the Quentin Tarantino movie that's shooting right now.
Oh, that's true. I actually think that looks really good.
We already know what he's going to be in. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying, is that it's all a publicity stunt. Everything with these people is a publicity stunt.
Shoot me now.
All I can say is they're poor kids. Like,
I don't know that those kids even know who they are.
I mean, they're not, you know? I was gonna say, they're probably like, Nanny, who's that woman we're in a picture with in People magazine?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, Aretha. I mean, this could be multiple things, but the latest is that, people are praying for Aretha Franklin in the Detroit church where her father was a longtime pastor. The special vigil at New Bethel Baptist Church began before dawn today and attracted more than 100 people sharing prayers and songs for the music legend. Her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, led the church for decades and became a backbone of the civil rights movement. And pictures of him and her are actually still outside this church. But she has been reported to be in very ill health right now. And though no specific details about her health have been released, she has struggled in recent years and did announce that she was retiring in 2017 that she was planning to retire. So there's been a lot of speculation about that this is not a new thing.
No,
it's just it's an old thing that's gotten progressively worse.
We don't know anything about what it is. No one said anything about what it is,
yeah.
But clearly appears to be, you know,
something obviously serious,
either degenerative or chronic or, you know, or terminal in this case. If you're in hospice care,
if the word hospice is being used,
yeah,
99.9999999999 chance you're dying soon.
Yeah, at the point where they say morphine, you're probably looking at 72 to 96 hours left. But apparently she's still having lucid moments and
I would say Stevie Wonder went to visit her yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I love thinking of the two of them hanging out together.
You know,
so
absolutely
hard.
An American icon and one of the great, great, great voices of the 20th century.
She changed both the face of music and the face of the civil rights movement.
Yes.
So she, and that's why I love picturing her and Stevie Wonder together, because it's very, he changed the face of music and the face of the civil rights movement. Like, I love knowing that they're friends. And I only wish I will regret to the end that I never got to see her in concert. I did get to see Stevie Wonder, which was great. But, and man, that was only like 3 years ago. That guy can still get it.
Oh, yeah. He's still good.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, our
thoughts. And I don't pray because I don't believe in God, but our thoughts and love with you, Aretha.
Yeah. Thoughts and love to Aretha Franklin, her friends and family. At this time, and you know, best wishes for peace and comfort wherever she may go.
So for sports, I hate sports.
Yeah, I know this is going to be like the worst part of the show every week for you.
It was really hard. I did get it though. It's either being like, if it's not about the Red Sox, I don't care.
Quit whining.
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland. Sex scandal.
No.
Fired Urban Meyer?
Nope.
No, that's somewhere else.
They did fire somebody.
University of Maryland fired. Are they the ones with the guy that was on tape? No. I was going to say, are they the guy with the ones with the coach that was on tape using cocaine? But no. That was an NFL team. I don't know.
In an emotional press conference yesterday afternoon, officials from the University of Maryland, including its president, Wallace Lowe, and athletic director Damon Evans addressed the ongoing investigation into the death of a Maryland football player this summer. At the press conference.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, the press conference, which came after Lowe and Evans both met with the player's family yesterday. The president stated that he told the family that the university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day. This came 3 days after head coach DJ Durkin was placed on administrative leave, and not long after the attorney representing the family of the deceased football player Jordan McNair called for his dismissal. His leave stemmed from a damning report late last week in which it was alleged that McNair was showing signs of distress before he collapsed during a workout in late May, dying a little over 2 weeks later in what has been determined to be heat stroke. Or complications resulting from heat stroke. And the same report, which led to the suspensions of the training staff and strength and conditioning coach as well, also details a toxic culture within the football program under Durkin, one based on fear, intimidation, belittling, humiliation, and embarrassment.
You're a lawyer's daughter.
Yep.
What does that statement from the university president tell you?
They knew it was going on, and or they want to make a settlement instead of going to trial.
That's exactly where I'm going with this. They're going to settle this.
Oh yeah, they're going to settle.
That's basically as soon as you say I accept legal responsibility.
It's basically like walking into a courtroom when you've been charged with murder and saying a guilty plea.
How many millions would you like?
Yeah,
this is the subtext there.
I was going to say, how many millions would you like? Would that decimal point move over to the left to a smaller number if we fire the guy that you're blaming for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the answer for the family is no. No, we'd like X number of millions.
Well, I played sports growing up and I danced growing up. And I know people say that dancing's not a sport, but hey, I can hold my arm out in front of my body with all my muscles flexed for way longer than anyone who weightlifts. So thank you.
Not a sport.
It's an athletic activity. But this is what always bothers me about once an athletic person in whatever capacity they are athletic gets to a certain level is that this is not an uncommon thing. The push it to the max.
Well, the stories that are coming out that came out in that report about what was going on in that camp are uncommon. It was things like,
Oh, no, I'm not saying this, like the specific exact things he did. I'm saying the behavior in the broad general sense of it.
There was one example where, you know, a player wasn't as large as the coach wanted him to be, so he was forcing him to eat until he threw up at every meal. That's excessive.
Well, and the reason I brought up dancing is like the flip side of that. So I did tap, jazz, and ballet for 10 years. And when I was 14, my teacher told me I could either lose 30 pounds or quit. I was 14. And then I ended up quitting because I was like, that's an absurd thing to say to a 14-year-old girl. And screw you, I love McDonald's. Actually, I like Wendy's better. Anyways, but it just so happened that that same year that I ended up quitting, one of my good friends at school played Clara in the Nutcracker. And we would sit at lunch and she would
eat, and she'd be jealous.
She would eat two celery sticks and an apple slice. And I'd say, what are you doing? She said, this is all I'm allowed to eat all day for the next 2 months. Like, that's the problem with, because, you know, University of Maryland, they're a pretty good team. They're up there. I think they're in Division I, right?
Yeah.
And see, I know stuff. But it's like the higher you rise in things like that, the more it becomes okay in the eyes of these coaches.
Yeah, there's
to just push. I'm not saying
there's
that all
lines
coaches.
That you don't cross.
I was saying, I'm not saying all coaches. This guy, obviously, and I'm sure that as this progresses, I'm very interested to see if the family decides to settle or if they decide to take it to trial.
Well, if
they take it to trial, I imagine there are going to be a lot more teammates, especially now that he's been dismissed, so he can't punish them.
They'll take it to arbitration is what's going to happen, because the university has already admitted responsibility.
I'm going to say, they're still probably going to get testimony, though, from, depending on how arbitration goes. Because you never, Imagine how you would feel if you're, I don't know how old he was, but I imagine between 18 and 22, if your 20-year-old kid died because his football coach. There are a lot of people, I know money is important a lot of times in cases, but there are a lot of people that experience things like this that, yeah, they want money. Yeah, they want some sort of reparations. But beyond that, they want justice for their child that passed away. They will forego the chance. They will sometimes forego the guaranteed money for the chance to have everything really brought to light, for the chance of having other teammates testify about their treatment and things like that.
WMFO Medford. This is a civil case. The university is going to take a nolo. They're going to nolo contendere this thing. Mm. Which basically means they're going to walk in front of a judge and they're going to say, punish us. You tell us what the punishment should be. And the family is going to put a figure in front of the judge and the university.